We're looking at a sugya about Mizbeach, Daf Nun Dalid Omen Aleph. Now, to appreciate this sugya, because we're going to sort of be jumping in a little bit in the middle of the sugya, because there's one specific dimension about the Mizbeach that we want to focus on, we'll just mention that the background to this sugya that we're about to learn is a machlokes about the yisod hamizbeach, specifically with regard to Keren Mizrachis Dromis. And the Braisa had been quoted earlier that there's no yisod on that corner, which is the southeastern corner. And the Gemara quotes a machlokes between Rav and Levi. Rav takes this literally, and he understands that when they built the Mizbeach, there was no Yisod on the southeastern side. And Levi takes it more figuratively. He has a more liberal interpretation. He says, no, there was a Yisod that surrounded the entire Mizbeach. However, as far as the halachic status of the Yisod, where they did the Shvichas Hadamim, he says, Lo Huchshar Chelik Zeh Shel Yisod LeKabel Damim. So there's a halachic statement here that although the Yisod did in fact, according to Levi, go around the entire Mizbeach, including the southeastern side, but on that side, there was no possibility to consider the Kabbalah's Damim on that side as being effective. And the reason for that, the Gemara goes into a long analysis here, is because it was not in the Chelek, in the Nachla of Binyamin, that particular place. It was in Yehuda's Nachla and not in Binyamin's. Okay, I'm just mentioning this as just a background to what we want to study today. We want to look at a particular braisa which Levi quotes as a support to his shita, that indeed the Yisod surrounded the entire, physically it surrounded the entire Mizbeach. And that's going to be here on Daf Nun Dalet Amid Aleph, Tashma. There are a number of Tashmas on the page, so you might get confused. The one that we want to hone in on is approximately, I would say, 15 lines up from the top, from the bottom of the page. If you count up from the bottom of the page, approximately 15 lines, you'll see a two dots in the middle of a line. The line itself starts with the word Amma. And then if you move towards the left, you'll see Tashma. Do you have such a thing? Ditani Levi, which means that this is a braisa that was brought down by Levi, and the braisa says the following: Ketzad bonim es hamizbeach. How did they actually build the mizbeach? And the braisa now goes into like real nitty gritty details about the architectural work or the engineering work in order to build the Mizbeach. Mevi'im Malbein. Malbein in English would be something that's rectangular in shape, or I should say square in shape. Okay, square in shape, because we're going to see that it's got this the exact same length and it's a square. It's because, again, the as we've discussed many occasions, the precondition of a Mizbeach, it's got to be ribua, it has to have a square shape. Now this Malbein is what you call a form. In Hebrew it's called a tefus. And the size of this tefus was shloshim ushtayim amos al shloshim ushtayim amos. So it was 32 by 32 amos. And what we're going to do is we're going to put ultimately the stones that make up the Mizbeach into this form, into this tfus. And this tfus, Rashi explains, was made up of four boards. Each board was 32 amos long. And govho, it says amma. It was one amma begova. Now, literally, the word begova means height. But if you imagine for 1 second that this form would be tipped over on its side, so you can call that one amma the width, in a sense. But if you want, let's call it one amma high. Okay, so it's 32 amos long and one amma high. Okay, what do we do with this form? Okay, so it says mevi chiluke avonim mifulamos. So he's going to now bring. Now the word chiluke or chaluke means chaluk is something that's smooth, and we're going to see this is very critical that the stones that make up the mizbeach have to be smooth. But mifulamos means moist, which means that these stones were taken from the sea, and the sea, because the waters of the sea move and the waves and so on, we call surfing, that's going to smoothen out the stone. So the stones are mifulamim, mifulamos, which means, right, the word Evan is the kava, that's why it says mifulamos, which means they are damp. Okay? They're damp and smooth. Chaluke, which means smooth, and mifulamos means they're damp. And we're going to take these stones and fill up the form that's 32 amos on 32 amos. What are the sizes of these stones? So it says here, bein gdolos ubein ktanos. And he quotes a Meiri here in the footnote that what they did was they organized the larger stones on the outer side of the Malbein, and in the inside they would put the smaller stones, so that the larger stones sort of like formed the stronger outer walls of the Mizbeach, if you will, and then they would fill up the inside of these stones with smaller stones. So we're going to see that they would add three different elements into this mixture. Umevi sid vikunya vizefes. So let me read to you the English translation. He says lime, that's called sid. Then he says kunya is lead glaze, so it's a kind of a glass, a liquid glass. And zefes he translates as tar. And then it says umamche v'shofech. Mamche is always when you take various liquids and you mix them together. So these different kinds of pouring objects or elements are dissolved together. And then v'shofech, he pours this mixture over the stones. So he writes here in the footnote that the mixture of lime, lead, and tar causes the stones to adhere one to the other as it dries. So there's liquids that will cause the adherence of all these stones. And the Masifta adds something here in the name of a sefer called the Zevach Todah. He says the Ikar Mizbeach Hayu Hayah Havanim Shabo, but Shvichas Hasid Vakunya Vasefes Hoyse Kidei LeDabek Es Havanim Zu LeZu. And he goes on to assume that once this lime, lead, and tar would solidify, it would close the gaps between the stones. So we're serving now a double purpose. Number one, we want to cause all the stones to adhere, and by doing so, which is the second repercussion, it now fills in all these gaps. And when it hardens, then they would take out the tfus, take out this form, and what would remain was a block of stone that was 32 by 32 amas with one amma high. That's what would be left. So far, how are we doing, Rabosa? Okay? Again, I'm not a bucky in engineering, so bear with me, but I'm just trying to get a picture of what was going on here. I'm using both the Masifta and the English translation here to help me get the mechanics of it. Yeah.
I mean, I remember learning somewhere that the reason we have to go to all these engineering pieces is because we're not allowed to use metal to create the mizbeach. Is that correct?
That's what we're going to get to right now.
Okay.
That's what we're going to get to, Mamish, right now.
I think there's some other problem there, too, that it's hot, it remains very, very hot all the time.
So it's got to be resistant, heat
it's
resistant.
It's got to be something like tremendous.
I guess these stones are heat, yeah, yeah, heat resistant.
Something that's going to be able to get hot forever.
Now the Raisa continues, and he says, Zehu Mokom Yisod. Okay, so this is going to be the place where the base of the Mizbeach is. And he writes that the base of the Mizbeach, the Yisod, is the Amma wide section that projects out of the bottom of the altar, out of the Mizbeach. Notice this was a projection that was formed by a second block. Okay, we'll see this in Rashi, which was made one Amma. So there's this base that juts out by one Amma, and that's called the Yisod. Okay. Now he says, V'chozer u'mevi malbein, a second malbein, shehu shloshim Amma, shloshim Amma, v'govo chamesh Amos, u'mevi chalukei avonim, again these soft, smooth stones, whether the large or small. He brings the lime and the tar, and the lead, the glazed lead, and he dissolves them and pours them into this form, v'zeo hasovev, and this is the round part which is almost in the middle of the Mizbeach, and that's going to be the sovev. That's going to go all the way around the Mizbeach. Now notice that the second malbein is higher than the first malbein by 4 amma. So the yisod is just 1 amma high, whereas the sovev is 5 ammos high. So the sovev, where the kohenim are going to walk around, that's already in the middle of the mizbeach. Let me just see if he adds anything here. Just 1 second. What was the gova here? It says 5 amos. Why does he say, just 1 second? Okay. I don't know, he doesn't add anything here.
There was a stone underneath that, so it was slightly higher. Sounds pretty high.
Right. Again, we'll try to get our feet wet and just see exactly how it operates. Well, let's go. Yes,
the Yisod have to have some kind of, I don't know, at least a hole, because dam is
to drain the dam.
Like, where does the dam go if you don't?
Correct. Absolutely.
Didn't get to that yet?
We didn't get to that yet.
Okay.
Hopefully, we'll get to everything. We're just really at the beginning here. Then he says the following. He says, Chozer umevi malbein shu esrim v'shmona al esrim v'shmona amos v'govo shalosh amos. So now we're up to the third form. Umevi chaluke, again, the avonim v'fulomos that we spoke about, ben gedolos ben ketanos. He brings the sid, the kunya, the zefes, mamche, shofech l'tocha malbein. V'hu mokom hamarocha. And this is the place where the fire was, on top of the Mizbeach. Now in the note he says here that, I'm just going to read to you the note, he says, Ein kavona satana shekol shetach haribua hoyamokom hamarocha. It's not that the entire 32 amos on 32 amos on top of the Mizbeach was all, he says actually 28 amos on 28 amos was all for the purpose of Marocha, of the fire, Sharitzoch Lenakos Amami called Sad Machmas HaKronos. Right, so the corners of the Mizbeach that jutted high, they would take up each one a square Amma. So it's not possible to say that there was a Marocha throughout the entire Rosh Al Mizbeach. And he says, we owed not only that, but he needs an Amami called Sad on each one of the four Stadium Mizbeach, Lemokum Hiluch Ragle HaKohenim. So in other words, he's explaining why for the Marocha was subtracting How many amos are we subtracting? 4 amos, is that correct? Because we went down from 32 to 28, okay. So again, we need a square amma for each one of the chronos. Okay, and then we need an amma on each side for makom hiluach ragle akonim hinglo hoisa vida samaroch ala esrim ushtayim amma al esrim ushtayim amma. So the area that was designated for the maroch is 22 amma square, because we took an amma square times 4, and so that's 4 amma square, and then another amma square for the ragle akonim, so that's 5 amma square. So how does he come up with 22 amma?
It's 5 on every side.
What do you say?
It's 5 on every side, so 32 minus 5 on both sides.
5 on every side for the 5 for the chronos and the makom hiluach reglayim. So 5 square. So, and we started with what? With 32.
Right, so 32, and then you take 5 on both the left and the right, and you get 22, because it's a total of 10.
Uh-huh. And why only on the left and right?
And it goes from 32 by 32.
Right.
And then you take 5 in from north, south, east, and west, and you get then 22.
So you're subtracting 10?
Right.
Okay. That's what Aaron says. I relied on him totally. You know,
I probably understand it if I saw a diagram, because I'm visual. But makes sense.
Oh, we'll try to get a picture. There's no diagram here in the Masift, unfortunately. Maybe there's a diagram here. Does this diagram help you at all, Ben? Take a look. I don't know. And it's a little bit small, but maybe you can make it out.
Yeah, a little bit.
Helps you.
32 almost, 2 almost.
All right. So now we went down to, for the Maroch, we went down to what? 22, we said? Is that correct? 22 Amma. Fine. What else do we have here? V'umakom Amarocha. V'chozu mevi malbein shu amal amma. Umevi chiluki avonim ufulomos ben gedolos ben gtanim mevi zephis v'kuyi mamchim shav v'zehu keren. So the keren, we said, is an amma square. And that's what he did, l'chol keren u'keren. So even the chronos of Mizbech were made of avonim ufulomos, just like the Mizbech itself, and the yisod and the soviv. In any event, the bottom line is, what do we get from this brisa that would support Levi? Clearly, if you're talking about the measurements of the Mizbech as being 32 by 32, and we said that the Yesod, right, that was the second form that he brought, and what was that? That was also 32 by 32. So it means that the Yesod went all the way around the Mizbech. Is that correct? On all 4 sides.
I mean, it's hard to imagine it not going all around structurally. It's the foundation. I can't imagine it.
Well, again, I think if I understand correctly, this foundation, this base, is really jutting out from the Mizbeach. So there's no need for it to actually be underneath every single part of the Mizbeach. Now, v'chi tema, maybe you can interpret the Braisa, and here we're turning to Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, that although the form itself, where they poured into the avodim, etc., etc., was 32 amos, but gaizle. But maybe after they had the form that had the 32 amos, maybe they broke away part of the yisod, which would be on the southeastern side of the mizbeach, because that was the chelik of Yehuda, and the yisod had to be in the chelik of Binyamin, the Toref, right? So the Gemara says that's an impossibility. Why? And this is the main part that I wanted to get to today, because the pasuk says at the end of Dvarim with regard to building the mizbech, Avonim Shlemos Tivne Es Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. In other words, the Mizbeach had to be smooth without any nicks in it. You could run your thumbnail or your forefingernail through the entire surface of the Avdei Mizbeach without it getting caught at all. It was totally smooth. Now, if they would break down the Yesod and chip away at it, then it would be impossible that there wouldn't be any pegimos. So it wouldn't be avonim shlemos. Now the Gemara rejects that assumption, and the Gemara says that even if I assume that there was no yesod that was built on the southeastern side, because that was the chelik of Yehuda, is demachis midi mituse vishakile. So let's see what he translates here. He says, now according to Rav, who holds that what? That there was no Yesod on the southeastern side. So how did they achieve that goal? So the Gemara answers, the machis midimi tuse, when filling the form to make the Yesod, then he put something solid in its place. In other words, on that southeastern side, they would put something, not stones, v'shakale, and then they would remove it. In other words, before filling the form with rocks and cement, they would cover an amma-wide strip in the territory of Yehuda with wooden beams of that size that are thick enough to reach the height of the form. So basically the beam along one side was an amma wide, one amma high, and 30 ammas long. The beam on the other side was only 29 ammas long. The sides of the beams were smooth, and therefore the cement, when it hardened against them, would form a smooth surface. So the mixture of lime, lead, and tar, which was used for cement, would not adhere well to the wood. Consequently, once the base was partially dried, the beam could be removed, and the surfaces with which the beam had been in contact would remain smooth. So again, at the point in which the yesod was partially dried, then they would remove these beams of wood, and as a result, they ended up with a smooth surface base, which is what we require, even though there was no base on the southern and eastern sides. Okay, let's see if we can look in the Rambam for a moment and get an idea how the Rambam codifies these halachas. Again, we were absolutely convinced that Avonim Shlemos means that the stones cannot be pgumos, correct? They cannot be full of any sort of nicks. The Rambam writes, Kol Evan, this is Perek Aleph Halach Yudalid of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, after he established that the Mizbech has to be made of stones, because the Pasuk Mizbech Adomatasali, the Rambam writes, Kol Evan Shenifkema. Now, what's the shear of a pegima, some sort of a nick, a crack in the Evan? Kadesha tachkor ba hatziporen. If he can swipe the nail of his finger, and he'll get caught at some point, harezu psula lekevesh ulemizbeach. So, in other words, the Rambam is establishing that this requirement of avonim shlemos without any pegam applies equally to the Mizbeach and to the Kevesh. Shenemar Avonim Shlemos Tivne Es Mizbeach Hashem. Now, the Rambam asks the following question: where do we find, how do we locate these Avonim in nature, you know, that have no Pegimos to them? Umehechad Oyim Mevim Avne Mizbeach. He says, min besula sakarka, you get to a place where there's a smooth piece of ground, chofrin, and you dig down, ad shemagim, below the surface of the ground, l'mokom anikar, she'eno mokom avoda, clearly no human hands have come in contact with this subterranean area, u'motzien mimenu avonin, and you remove stones from there. Oh, alternatively, minayama godol, you know, you dig down into the sea and you bring the stones, ubonubahem, and with those stones you're going to build a mizbech. So that's how the Rambam guarantees that there won't be a pegima in the Evan. Then the Rambam adds that not only does this apply to the mizbeach, but v'chein avnei ha-heichal v'ha-azoros, the stones that made up the heichal and the azoros, shlemos hayu, they also had to be shlemos. The avnei heichal, the azoros shenifkimu, psuos. Now the Rambam wakes up with a whole new halacha, and he says, "Kol even shenogabo habarzel, any stone that came in contact with steel, with metal, afal pishlo nifkema, even without a pagam, psul binyan amizbeach ulbinyan akevis, shenemar ki charbucha hinafta oleo vatchaloleo." So the Torah says that if you wave over the mizbeach a cherev, which is made of metal, that passels the mizbeach. So let's just summarize. The Rambam now has two halachos, and both of them will disqualify an Evan for the Mizbeach. The first halacha is that there's a pagam in the Mizbeach, in the Evan. And the second halacha applies even if there is no pagam, and that's when it had contact with Barzel. The Rambam goes ahead and says that this established rule, this requirement applies not just to the Mizbeach and the Kevesh HaMizbeach, but also applies to the Avnei HaHeichal and the Azoros. And this is all derived from the Pasuk Shlemos. Shlemos, the opposite of Shlemos, is Nifkema, where there's a Pagam. The Rambam tells you that this Pagam might be very slight. He says that Tachkar Ba Tziporen, if the nail is caught in that nick, that's enough to what? To call it a Pagima. And that would passel the Evan. With regard to Kicharbacha Heinafto Levat Chalaleho, which desecrates the Kedushas HaEvan, the Rambam says Afo Pishalo Nifgama Psula for the Mizbeach and the Kevesh. Notice that with regard to the Avnei Heichal and the Azoros, the Rambam seems to split. When he talks about Pagima as a poselis, then he applies it not only to the Mizbeach itself, but also to the Avnei Heichal and the Azoros. When he talks about the Isur of Kicharbucha Inafto Leo Vatchaloleho, which later on the Rambam is going to say that if you do such a thing, you violate a law in the Torah, here the Rambam is limited to the Mizbeach and the Kevesh. So again, I'll read it one more time. He says, "Kol evet shenoga ba barzel, afa bishlo nifkema psula lebinyan amizbeach ubinyan hakevesh, shenera ki harbucha inafta olev at chaleh, vabona evan shenoga ba barzel, ba mizbeach o ba kevesh loke, shenera lo tivne eshen gozis." So with regard to this concept called a negiyah bebarzel, the Rambam doesn't talk about Avnei Heichal Vazoros. Apparently he doesn't extend that to those, he only limits it to what? To the Mizbeach and the Kevesh. Alright, let's leave the Rambam on the side for just a moment, and I want to pick up with you an essay here in Nefesh Tova. As I've told you many times, we're using the Evan Tova, the Nefesh Tova, I called it an Evan Tova, it has no pegima, as our Keresh Kvitza, our jumping point for studying Masechta Zvach. Okay. So now, He quotes our Gemara of Avanim Shlemos and Yesh Listapik. Does everybody have the place? Yesh Listapik? We're in Os Nun Vav, and the bold is just a quote of our Gemara. Yesh Listapik. What is this? He calls it Gzeiras HaKosuv, this requirement of Avanim Shlemos. And he offers two interpretations. The first interpretation, he says, is the Be'inon Avonim Chalokos. What does Chalokos mean, Rabosai?
Smooth.
Smooth means without any pegima. Tsurasan, therefore the outer shape of the stone. Shlema, below pegima. And that's what it means when it says Avonim Shlemos. Oh, now look at the second possibility. This is the second possibility, I think, and please correct me if you disagree with me, is completely new to us. And offhand, the second possibility sounds antithetical to everything we've been saying until now. And that is the Be'inon Avonin Kibriyasan Vitoldasam Beloshinu. What does that mean, Kibriyasam Ukitsurasam?
As they were created.
Correct, Kibriyasa means as they exist in nature. And Umaydik Siv, according to this second approach, when it says Avonim Shlemos, what it really means is Shalom Nechseru Mikumos Shenivru. So you start with the Evan as it is in nature, and now you have to maintain and guarantee, preserve, that there are no additional Pegimos. No, the hand of man should not intervene and therefore create some sort of a nick in the Evan. If that be the case, then according to the second approach, lo be'inon shiyu avonim chalokos. Here we've assumed all along that the stones have to be smooth. No, they don't have to be smooth. As long as the lack of smoothness, if I can use that term, is a result of nature in the natural state, that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is when, as a result of human activity, it becomes pogum in a pegima that goes beyond its natural state. Now, thank God, I was very happy. In the next paragraph, he says, Ubipirish Rashi, the way we interpret the sugya, Mashbal Edya Katsada Rishon. Rashi says that you need Avonim Shlemos Shie Chalak, that these stones should be smooth, Velo Pegimos, without any Pegimos. And if you recall, the Gemara says that that's why we couldn't form the Avonim and then break them up, because they wouldn't be Chalokos. There seems to be an equation here between two words, Chalokos and Shlemos. Shlemos equals Chalokos. It's got to be smooth. If it's not smooth, then it's not shlemos, and therefore it's not kosher for the mizbeach. V'hainu shedin shlemos bi'uro shetetzuras avonim chalokah b'lo pegima. V'chein nir midivei ha-tosfus. And it would seem that way from Tosfos as well. Now, he doesn't tell you exactly where this Tosfos is. I'm assuming it's this Tosfos on Daf Nun Beis, Amud Beis, Dibra Maschil, Avonim Shlemos Shehikshu Amai Hiksha Shas to be eaten Avonim Shlemos will Hikshu Lotonif Aleim Barzel Ksiv Mitirzu da Shas Kitzer Khan Vikavanoso Kimodi Amrina be Avonim Zorah Gabi Avonim Shishikzu Anshe Yavon the Amrin Heki Navid Nitarbinu. If we break them down, Avonim Shlemos Omrachmona Nisarsinu, if we do a smoothing that's called masates, you know, where you smooth the top, is lo tonif aleim barzel omrachmona. Ubir divrem de imishum din avonim shlemos bilachud. Is akati efshal et nasron velasosom chalokos. So if the problem is that it's not sholem, well, that, you know, that we can solve that problem. We can smoothen it out. But the problem is you can't smoothen it out by using what?
Metal.
Barzel, metal. And therefore, Yefshel Achlika below Barzel, and therefore they put him away. So we have Avonim that at the time that the Avonim, this is the time of Hanukkah, they took over the Beis HaMikdash, and the Gemara testifies in Avodah Zohar that they had to put away these avonim b'gniza, and they couldn't smoothen them down, because in order to smoothen them down you would need barzel, and also l'hanifalei and barzel. So we can't use barzel as a way of hachlokas ha'avonim. So Tosus apparently understood that if not for the problem of barzel, of lotanif, then we could smoothen the stones, and that would be fine. V'lo mishkachas le'shiyu v'lo p'gima ela mibriyosan. In came avur de midin avonim shleimos greater ayatakana bachlakasa mishum de shleimos hainu v'lo p'gima. So right now, up to this point, and we'll have to review all the nitty-gritty details, and pardon the pun, we'll have to smoothen out all the nicks here, all the glitches, but what we do know is that both according to Rashi and Tosus, the definition and requirement of Shlemos means that you have to guarantee that the stones are smooth. And if in a natural state, as you find them in the quarry, they have nicks in them, you'll have to smoothen that out. Now, are you going to be able to smoothen that? Well, that's a problem too, because you're going to have to use barzel, and you're not allowed to use barzel on the avonim. So my question to you is, where did the Nefesh Tova come up with this second definition, that you don't necessarily have to have chalokos, as long as it's in its natural state, it's an original state, then even if it's got all sorts of cracks and crevices, it's still kosher l'mizbeach. Where did he get that from? So I'm thinking that he got it from a Mishnah in Masechta Midos. You take a look at the next paragraph. Disnan, the Mishnah says in Masechta Midos, here actually, if we had time, it would be worthwhile getting a hold on the other side of that wall. There's a Mishnayis Kahati. He probably will help us a little bit, but let's just try to do it without him. He says, Disnan, the Mishnah says, Echad Avnei HaKevesh, V'Echad Avnei HaMizbeach. Where did they take the Avonim from? A place called Bikas Beis Kerem. Everybody knows where that is. I have no clue. And he says, Chofrim Lamata Mea Besula, meaning there's Karka Besula on top, and we dig down, and the Via Misham Avonim Shlemos. And why? As we saw early in the Rambam, because there was no human intervention or contact with these Avonim. They're so deeply situated below the surface of the ground, the Karka Basula, Shlo Hudaf Aleim Barzel. And the Mishnah says, because we can absolutely be certain that there was no contact with Barzel, Shab Barzel Posel Benegia Vapgima Bechol Dover. Now watch what happens here. There's a double language in the Mishnah in Midos. If you take the first part, he says, Shab Barzel Posel Benegia. Now we can dig up the avonim from deep down below the surface, and we are guaranteed that they had no contact with barzel. So if the Mishnah in Midos would have stopped here, I would have said, well, wait a minute. You've guaranteed that there was no contact with barzel, but how do you know that these avonim are chalakos? How do you know they're smooth? And the answer to that in the Rosh Yeshiva's second side would be that since they're kibriyosam, I don't care whether they are smooth. Meaning, the kibriyosam in the natural state, that by definition makes them into avonim shlemos. But then, if you take a look, the Mishnah adds another three words, and it says, v'apagia b'chol davar. Now, what does that mean, apagia b'chol davar? In the case of barzel, the psul is what? Benegia, even without pegima. So obviously there's another psul called pegima. And the answer would be, I think, that pegima would mean, in the second side, a human intervention. When man actively caused a pegima, he didn't do it with a barzel, because otherwise, forget about Pagima, the Gia itself would passel the Evan, but rather he did it with some other substance. Is in that case, the Mishnah says Pagima b'chol davar, that even if he used another substance other than barzel, nevertheless, it would, since it caused the Pagima. So imagine he took You see, I'm trying to remember, I'm trying to figure out what substance would be strong enough to make a nick in the Mizbeach. Wood, I don't know if wood would do it. Maybe if you had a very solid piece of wood that was very heavy or sharp, maybe that could create a pegima in the Evan. I don't know.
Certainly diamond.
Maybe a diamond, meaning another stone, you're saying. So, because if it's another stone, it's not Barzel. Upirish Ra'av. So this is the Baratanura, and he says on that Mishnah, Min Absula, Karkish Lo Chafra Ba Miolam. Fine. So this, there was never a plowing of that ground. And he says that according to Rashi and Tosfos, that Avonim Shlemos means that they have to be Chalokos. So Chlomer Diena Kavonim Mastis and Dilahachi Chofrim Dafka Bekarka Besula Kedeshiyu Avonim Shlemos. In other words, there's no guarantee that when you dig down below the ground, what you're going to come up with are Avonim Shlemos, in the sense that they're absolutely smooth. That you can't guarantee. And according to Rashi and Tosfos, if you can't guarantee that, then you haven't saved anything. You haven't found Avonim Shlemos. So the only advantage of digging down below the ground is going to be what? To guarantee that there was no human activity and therefore there was no contact between Barzel and the Evan. But Od Bira Mishnah, Shein Lokhim Misham El Avonim Shlemos below Pegima Mishum Din Avonim Shlemos. So now Rashi and Tosis are going to interpret those last three words in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says HaPegima V'chol Dovar, it means that if he digs up Avonim from the bottom of the ground, right, and they were submerged below the level of the ground. Now he brings them up, and he finds out, to his chagrin, that there are pegimas in the Evan. In that case, the Evan is possible. So again, the Karka Basula and this whole business with Bikas Beis HaKerem, that's only going to solve one problem, namely Shalohin and Falei and Barzel. It's not going to solve the problem of Chalokos. And whether or not the stone would be Shlemos or not, does it have Pegimos? Well, that's something that we'll have to determine. There's no guarantee that by going down below the surface of the earth, you're going to find stones that are Shlemos. Because again, Shlemos means that by definition, they can't be used for the Mizbeach unless they're absolutely smooth. So he says the following. What does the Bartanura say on these three words, HaPegima V'chol Dovar, that's the paragraph Ach, says the Rav, the Bartanura says, HaPegima Poselis Ba'avonim V'chol Dovar, Afil Lo Nifgemu B'Barzel. So it means that Nifgema Ha'Even Mibriyasa Al Yidei Dovar Acher. Oh, this is important. So please underline these words, four lines up from the bottom of the page, Nifkema Evan Mibriyasa Al Yidei Dover Acher. How does he see this in the Bartanura? The Bartanura writes, HaPegima Poseles Ba'avonim Bechol Dover Afilo Nifkemu Bebarzel. So what's he talking about when he says Bechol Dover?
Meaning it could be an element other than metal, Barzel, that would still make it.
But is it the Evan itself, or is it something that was external to the Evan and it created a pagam?
What is the Evan itself?
Was it the natural state of the Evan, or was it a human activity that from a different, again, not from Barzel, but from some different material, created a pagam? Let's read the language of the Bartanura. He says the following: Upirish hapegima poselis ba'avonim bechol dovar. What's bechol dovar?
Seems like an external.
Excellent, external. This is what the Rashi wants to build a lot on this Bartanura. Again, the Bartanura is not a Rishon, per se, but he's a very, very early Achron, you know, going back 5 centuries. And I think the Rashi wants to build a lot on this Bartanura. Again, as we go along, we'll see that it's not just the wine of the Bar Tanura, there'll be other sources for this, but right now he's analyzing the language of the Bar Tanura of Rabbi Ovadia. I mean, Bar Tanura, the Rabbi Ovadia did not have to say that when the Mishnah says Hapagima b'chol davar, it meant something external. He could have said that the natural state of the Evan itself was pogum, but he seems to say no, that b'chol davar means lafuki barzel. So we have an additional psul that undermines the status of Avonim Shlemos. In addition to the problem of Hanofas Barzel, we have a Pegima that was not a Pegima from Barzel. A Pegima was B'chol Dovar. Mashma, what do I want to derive from this Rabbi Ovadia? The Psul Pegima who Mishum Shenifkema Ha'evin Mibriyaso. Do you see that? The fact that there might have been an imperfection in the stone in its natural state, that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that nifkema. Nifkema means there's some active historical event that took place which created a pagam, and it was al yidei dover acher. Dover acher means it wasn't al yidei barzel. Is loksiv. It doesn't say here that a pagam biatzmuso posel. We're not saying that it was the imperfection in the Evan that disqualifies the Evan, but rather Pegima b'chol davar poselos. Mashma l'chora d'zeu din avonim shlemos shaloti pogem ha'evan mikmot shahoya. We have a brand new definition of avonim shlemos. Not Rashi and Tosis's definition, the way we thought that it means avonim chalokos. Chalokos is not a prerequisite for avnim mizbeach, but rather, Shlemos means that there was no Pegima in an active sense in the Evan. The Evan was never victimized, if you pardon that expression, and removed from its original natural state. The changing of the state of the natural state of the Evan, measured by a Pegam, a very small, insignificant nick, is what undermines the status of the Evan as Avonim Shlemos. Ulefiz et Tzarech Lomar Dima Evan Kibriyasa. If you found the Evan in its natural state, Afim Eino Chaloka, it's not smooth, but rather it's natural Pgimos, Harehi Kshera. So natural Pgimos don't disqualify the Evan. What disqualifies the Evan is the human element intervention of creating a Pagam. Daha im bir shlemos haynu kibriyasan veloshi yifkemu al yidei davar acher. If it's not necessary to introduce a pagav al yidei davar acher, im kein lo matzinu gzeres hakoshet didi inon shiyehe chalokos. So the Torah never requires chalokos, it only requires shlemos, and the Bar Tanura interprets that shlemos means that it shouldn't be a pagav al yidei davar acher, even if that davar acher is not barzel. And now he brings further strength or additional sources to this radical revolutionary position that the Evan that makes up the Mizbeach could be Pguma. Rabosa, at the end of the day, I'm going to ask you the following question, so please keep this in mind. Technically, the Sugya speaks about testing out the Evan and seeing if there's a pagam, and the shear is that it'll stop the tziporin, right? Kedei chagoras tziporin. How are you going to test that out? You know, whenever you get to a nick in the mizbeach, how do you know whether that nick was there in nature or nurture or it was created? I don't know how you determine that. Do you plaster on, you know, like we have in our house, these little madbekot, how do you call them in English? You know, you write
stickers.
Stickers, you know, right? Milchiks or fleishiks or parmon. What do? You put a sticker on the Evan and you say, well, this is the way we found it in nature, and that's the pagam. I don't know the logistics. But assuming you have, I don't know, two witnesses who could testify that this pagam was, you know, it's in nature, or two witnesses that on the contrary will testify. I don't know whether the, you know, Motzi Mekhat Lvaraya, whether we assume the Evan is Kshera until proven otherwise, and the Pegima was in its natural state, Kibriyasan. But in any event, if two witnesses come in and they say, we saw Reuven take a big, like you said, iron and diamond, and he drilled a hole into the Evan, then it becomes psul.
There's also a story about people throwing etrogs in his back and the mouth.
Right, so maybe I can testify that the etrog was such a hot etrog that it created a pagam in his back, right? So he says the Rashash. What is the Rashash? Mashba shedafka nifkamal yidei eze dover nifsalu, aval imitzon pagumos, tachas hakarka besula, shekein haya gidulam lo mifsale. So this is interesting. According to the Rashash, the reason why we're digging below the ground, subterranean in the Mishnah in Midos, is not just to guarantee that there was no anofas barzel, but also to make sure that we find the stone in its natural state. You know, any stone that's above the ground, you know, you could have questions about it. You know, have you ever driven along one of these highways, you know, in smaller areas in Nevada or wherever it is, or in upstate New York, all over the country, you'll find, you know, major stones with projections, you know, and you'll see all sorts of pegimos in the stone. And now you have to know what happened over here. You know, did somebody throw, like you say, pelted it with an esrog? I don't know. I doubt it. You know, on the way to Las Vegas, if somebody got out of his car and pelted the stone with an esrog, but right, it could happen. He says, but if he found it underneath the ground, even with the pegimos, since he knows by definition this is karka basula, it's never been exposed, he's digging up stones from underneath the ground, those are called avonim shlemo, says the Rashash. Lafuki, to the exclusion of, when is it no longer avonim shlemos? Kishe nechzichu acharkach, kishe otziya mimakoron. If historically or chronologically, after it was removed from the quarry, and then there was a pegima. And based on this assumption, the Rashash wants to answer a kash of Tosis in Chulin. The Gemara says in Chulin that the shear of Pegimas Mizbech is kechagiras tziporen, like we said before, the nail catches the nick. And Tosis asks the question, can heich bonoma Mizbech da anu yimotza avonim below Pegima? Tosis says, I looked throughout the globe for a stone that doesn't have a pegima in it. Have you ever seen a natural stone which is absolutely smooth? Maybe you did.
Yeah.
You did?
Sure, by lakes all the time.
Oh, but is it underwater?
On the shores.
So excellent. You might say that if it was underwater, maybe it would be absolutely smooth because the waves or the water smoothing out the surface.
Yeah, I think it's a distinction between a pigia that's natural and one that's created by Barzell is probably straight. It's a pigia that was naturally made that way is probably a little bit more.
No, but the point is that Tosis really throws his hands up in the air and he says, it's very hard for me to imagine that you could gather together stones that have no kidei chagiras tziporin, meaning that you could run your finger through it and it's absolutely smooth. It will not catch on any nick at all. Mm-hmm. Tosis claims that that's not shayach. Comes along the Rashash and he says, forget it. That's not a question at all, because as long as the pegimos are in the natural state and there was no active pegima, then the evan is shlema. It's considered shlema. The ain pegima poseles elin kein nases al yidei ben adam. It's got to be a humanly created pegima. This is very fascinating. Normally, you know, we assume that man improves nature, right? Things in their natural state are incomplete, and you know, like for example, I mean, I'm not in the building business, but if you take a look at Yerushalmi stone, that's not how it looks in nature when it's taken out of the quarry. So man improves the stone by smoothening it for his purposes. But here it works just the opposite. That once man jumps in and he starts playing around with the stones, then there's going to be a pegima. That's going to possible the stone. Better to take the stone in its natural state. Now this Rashash is pretty revolutionary. The Avi HaEzri, who is the Rosh Hashiva Panovich, Rav Shach, he writes about this Rav Shach, Yishtaka Hadavar. Do you see that in the next paragraph? I've never seen that in my life. Do you know what Yishtaka Hadavar means? Buried underground. Now the Rav Shach was no slouch. In my own short, travels through learning, I've given many shiurim based on the Rav Shach. The Rav Shach was brilliant. There are a lot of absolutely fascinating stories about the biography of the Rav Shach. In any event, but to say about the words of the Rav Shach, Yishtaka Hadavar, bury it below the ground, maybe on the Karka Besula, I don't know. Lo Yiyomer, you shouldn't even speak about this Rav Shach. Devadai Ein Chiluk, it makes no difference, says Rav Shach. If Nifkemu Me'ezit Dovar, O Shekach Ein Bidei Shamayim. Ach Lo Hevi Raya Ledvar. He simply makes this comment, a very harsh comment attacking the Rav Shach. And he doesn't justify it. He doesn't support it with any source. But if you look at the Chazon Ish, he writes, "Dipsul nifgam, this pegima in a mizbeach ain hevdil bein nasa bidei odom or nasa bidei shamayim. Da'akati lav shlemahi." So the Chazon Ish seems to reflect a mirror image of Rav Shach and the Aviyah Ezri, namely against the Rav Shach, that it doesn't matter whether or not this pagam was bidei shamayim bidei adam, kidamrina bibchoros gavi mumin she'ein hefresh bein nasa bidei adam l'nasa bidei shamayim. The Gemara says in Bechoros, and the Chazon Ish uses this as a mashal, so to speak, for Avnei Mizbeach, that the animal has a blemish. Why does it have a blemish? Did somebody after the story of Kamsa bar Kamsa, what was his name over there? I forgot what his name was. The Gemara in Hadzalka. Anyway, this. What was his name?
Rabbi Yochanan. No,
no, no, no. There was a very bad Jew that brought him back to Churban Abayis. Don't blame that on Rabbi Yochanan.
Oh no, I thought you were saying like.
Yeah, he came along and he took a knife. And he slid a hole, like a cut, in the under ear of the behemoth that was being sent to the emperor. And then he came and he said, "Emperor, I'm going to prove to you that the Jews have rebelled against you." Oh, maybe it was Kamsa, actually.
Kamsa bar Kamsa?
Yeah, maybe it was Kamsa. Maybe it was Kamsa. I'm not sure. I have to look it up again. But be that as it may, he tried to fool the Jewish people, because they were in a bind and they didn't know what to do, because L'shalom Malchus, they would have to be makir this carb, but it was a Baal Mum. Anyway, so the Chazon Ish says, based on the Gemara B'choros, it doesn't matter how this Mum came about, whether it was human intervention that made the Mum, some sort of surgical operation, or it happened in nature. You know, the animal was walking down the street and something fell from a high building
Why does he compare a moon to a blade? I mean, they're kind of different, you know. Like a moon is a very clear distinction, and it seems I just jumped into the show.
No,
everybody's arguing about what Pagima is.
No. What he's saying is that it doesn't matter why the stone has a nick in it. It could have had a nick in it because of human intervention.
Yeah, but if you did, like you said earlier, if you dig a stone from the ground, like what do you expect? It's always going to have some kind of. You know, it's never going to be a
correct. That's
it's not a Neoplatonic
stone. Right, no, you're right. That's going to be Tosus's problem. We didn't solve Tosus's problem. How, you know, the Rav Shach is his solution, because the Rav Shach says in its natural state, I don't care about Pagimos. That's not called, that doesn't undermine Shlemos. But you're asking, according to the Chazon Ish and the Avi Ezri, who are standing on the shoulders of none other than Rashi and Tosus, that say that the stone has to be absolutely smooth, where are you going to find such a smooth stone? But just to make one point here, what the Chazon Ish is pointing out is that the pegima could have been a pegima as a result of human intervention, that they created a nick in the stone, or it happened somehow in nature. Just like in the case of a Baal Mum, of an animal that's got a mum, it doesn't matter whether the animal was born with the mum, or whether or not the human being created that mum. If there's a blemish, then the animal is possible. So too here, we can possible the event if it's naturally paguma. Again, you could always have to ask the question, where in the face of the earth, maybe we're going to have to dig down below the sea, are we going to find Avanim Chalokos? But be that as it may, now I personally, I'm not sure about this Chazon Ish. What do I mean? I'm not sure that the Chazon Ish is saying, is reiterating what we saw in the Avia Ezri. When the Chazon Ish says that this Evan became Paguma, whether or not through a natural occurrence or through a human intervention, is he therefore telling you that an Evan that's Paguma Bibrioso is Poslim is Be'ach? Not necessarily. What the Chazon Ish might be talking about is that a Pagam post-birth, so to speak, meaning a Pagam took place at some point in history, and it doesn't matter what created that Pagam. Let's say, for example, there was an avalanche and one stone, ploppled on top of another stone and created a Pagam. That would also make it into a Pagum. But if it's in nature Paguma, I don't know what the Chazon Ish would say. Maybe that's what he means in the next paragraph. He says, Ach efshar shekavonis haChazon Ish ein hefresh. If nifgama ha'evan, again, underline the word nifgama, there was a historical event that took place, whether it happened bidei Adam or bidei Shamayim. It matters not. There was a nifgama. A nifgama means an active, again, whether it's natural or human, but an active pegima in the mizbeach. That changes the natural state of the Evan Kibriyasa. But if he digs down below Karka Basula and he finds an Evan that's imperfect, as far as the halacha mizbeach is concerned, it's perfect. And maybe the Chazon Ish would agree with the Rashash. And now he presents it to Tiferes Yaakov. Now, I'm not sure who the Tiferes Yaakov is, because there are a lot of Sfarim that are written with the same name. But if I'm not mistaken, the Tiferes Yaakov's last name was none other than, get this, Gesundheit. His name is Rabbi Yaakov Gesundheit. It's a funny kind of name. If you write it out, it's got like 42 letters. But anyway, so the Tiferes Yaakov takes a look at the Rambam. Now, we saw the Rambam. Maybe, I don't know if you don't mind opening up the Rambam again. That's Perek Aleph, Aluch Yudalit, or Beis HaBechira. Wait, maybe that's the place. Maybe you don't know. Yeah. And the Rambam says the following.
Say that again, sir.
Perek Aleph, Aluch Yudalit. The Rambam writes, Kol Evan Shenifgema, Kidei Shetachgar.
Well, that's important.
What? You find such a thing?
Yeah.
Shetiskar ba hatziporin kisakin shel shechita. Interesting, the Rambam postulates another equation, another analogy of his own, the shear of pagam in a sakin shel shechita to the shear of pagam in an evan lemizbeach. That's interesting. Have you ever seen a knife for shechita that was checked? Have you ever seen the checking? It's really cool. I saw it once in my life in Budapest, in Hungary. And the Rav of the shul, there's only one major Ashkenazic shul that's up and running, at least at that time, when I was in the many years ago, but he checked the shochet. There were a lot of shechita was going on in Hungary, and it was sent to all sorts of different Jewish communities. And it was unbelievable. He Mamish made sure that the knife was absolutely smooth. I'm not going to go into detail, but it was quite a scene. And then the Rambam writes, Harezu psula, if there's a possibility of getting caught in the nick, it's psul lekevesh ulam isbeah. Now this is interesting, the Rambam doesn't mention at this point the Avnei Hazara and the Hechal. Shenema avonim shlemos tivne es mizbach Hashem. Umehechan oyem mevim avnei mizbeach min besulas hakarka chofren at shemagim l'mokam anikar she'enem mokam avodo binyin umotziyem imenu avonim omenei yam agodol ubonim mehem v'chein avnei ahechal. Oh! Now he writes v'chein avnei ahechal v'azoros. Very strange that he adds this on as a postscript to Rambam. That's not typical the Rambam style. But they also have to be shlemos. So the same test that you would do in order to make sure that there's no chagoras hatziporim would apply if you wanted to use the Evan for the Heichal or the Azora. And now we can fast forward to Halacha Tezvav, and the Rambam writes in the next Halacha that kol Evan shenogah ba Habarzel, afal pishlo nifkema, just the gi itself, psula lebinyan amizbeth lebinyan akevesh. And again, he doesn't mention a word about avnei heichal v'avnei azora. So if you look in the Mishnah Lamelech, which is one of the super commentaries on the Rambam, he says, why do we go to this karka basula? He says, because we want to solve the problem and calm ourselves down about the possibility of negias barzel ba'avonim. Now it's very strange. Has the Rambam in Halacha Yudalid said a word? Has he uttered a word about barzel? In Halacha Yudalid, the Rambam says that you need an Evan that's not Paguma because of the requirement of Avonim Shlemos, but he doesn't breathe a word here about Barzel. It's only in Halacha Tesvav that the Rambam presents the Negias Barzel problem. So when the Rambam talks about going below the surface of Karka Basula, he's apparently trying to solve the problem of Pagima. He's Pagima, physical Pagima, not the problem of Negia with Barzel. So Rabosai, if the Rambam doesn't have any sort of relationship between what I call the subterranean Avonim and Barzel, then what are we gaining here by going below the ground? Are you with me, Rabosai?
No, just not. It hasn't been touched by anyone.
It hasn't been touched by anyone. This would guarantee whose shita then?
Rashash.
The Rashash, and before him, Rabbeinu Avadya Mibar Tanura. No, the Aviezri just, in Yiddish we say, machmet the hand. You know, he just wipes his hand this way. He says, no, don't even bother me. Erase it. You know, you need chalukos. But now you look at the Rambam, and the Rambam says, we're going to dig deep down below the ground, and we're going to come up with these avonim, and there was no human activity on these avonim. What do you gain by that? But the avonim still might be pagumos. So you're going to tell me what you're going to gain is that there was never barzel on it. A negias barzel. Well, the Rambam hasn't even presented yet the halacha that negias barzel poselis. He's only presented one din, namely the din of chalukah, of shlemos. What do you say, Ben?
I'm thinking the distinction we're making is between a natural pagum, something that's created in a pagum fashion, and human intervention, whether or not it's barzel or something else. I think that's the distinction we're making. Something might be created to have a little bit of a pagia, but as a natural pagia, and then there's a post-creation of that object that was either by barzel or not by barzel. In fact, there was human intervention afterwards.
Okay, but I'm asking you the following. Does the Rambam serve as a proof text that if in its natural state the Evan has pagimos, it still remains shlemos? Because again, if you're going to disagree with that and you're going to assume that even if it's in natural state it has pagimos that possible it and it's no longer shlemos, then what does the Rambam gain over here in Halacha Yudalid by saying let's dig below the surface of Karka Basula? You gain absolutely nothing. Because what we're getting left with is, okay, there was no human intervention, but even its natural state it has pagima. Elamai, the Rambam seems to only want to exclude the possibility, the suspicion, if you will, that there might have been human activity here that created a pagam, and if by going below the surface nobody had any contact with this. The Rambam is not talking about Negias Barzel, he hasn't even presented that thesis yet. What do you gain by digging up these untouched avonim? They still might be pagumos. I don't think that statistically there's much of a difference in terms of the probability of having a pagam by going deep below the surface to any stone, wherever you want to find it on the face of the earth. And therefore he says in Cain, Svir Leila Rambam, it seems that the Rambam holds that Bir Shlemos, Hanishlo Nifgamu, vis-a-vis their original state of Kibriyasa, there was never a pagima. Nimsa Dilafi Divrei Rambam, Misi Hashemis Kushas Atosvis. Tosfos says, Heichman Yimta Avonim below Pagima. Right? And he doesn't have your answer of the ocean right now. So Tosfos says, where are you going to find an Evan below Pagima? And the answer says the Rambam, because if it has Pagimos, that's Kibriyasa. And how do I know it's Kibriyasa? Because there was no human intervention over here, because I found it below Karka Besula. So just to finish up, because we're running out of time here, I just want to add one last paragraph here. You see the paragraph on the next page by Grin? This is already, he's quoting one of the great Brisker Lamdonim, which was his Rebbe, by Rav Beryl Soloveitchik, my Rebbe's first cousin. And he says, Hikshal zeh, to'kol al arama baloch zu shal avonim shlemos gam avnei heichal v'azoros. You remember at the end of the Rambam, he says, v'chein avnei, the end of haloch yudal, v'chein avnei ha'heichal v'azoros, shlemos. They also had to be shlemos. And that's based on a sugya mesechta sota, that there's a pasuk with regard to heichal and azoros that calls Evan shlema. And if they would bring avonim from Bisula Sakarka, rak al avne mizbeach, al kain haynu mishum da'od v'viyam mibsus karka mishum chashash hanofas barzel, v'din ze eno el b'avne mizbeach v'lo b'avne ha'hechal. So there's something very strange going on over here. The halach of hanofas barzel as a poselis only applies when to the mizbeach. It doesn't apply to the heichal and the avnei azara. So what is the Rambam gaining here by going below the ground? So if you're going to tell me that the Rambam wants to gain that there's no anofis barzel, that's irrelevant in the case of avnei heichal v'azaros, because the Rambam indicates that there's no iser. Oh, take a look in Halacha Ches. I think he says it explicitly that there's no iser of a nofes barzel v'avnei hazara. If we're going to say like the Teferis Yaakov, that the reason why we're taking karka basula is to make sure that they're shlemos, meaning that they're in the natural state, then l'chora we're going to take from there also for the avnei heichal v'azaros. Do you follow why karka basula and this whole endeavor, this whole enterprise to dig down below the ground is relevant not only to Avnei Mizbeach, but also to Avnei Ahechal VeHazoros? If you're going to tell me that going down below ground is to guarantee that there's no Anofis Barzel, there's no Isra Anofis Barzel vis-a-vis the Hechal and the Azora. All we're left with in the Hechal and Azora is that it shouldn't be Pagumos. No, if you're worried about being Pagumos, then we're gonna have to justify this whole endeavor, this enterprise of going below the ground in order to guarantee that they're not pagumos. And the question is, what are you gonna gain by taking up karka in its original kibriyasan state? The answer is gonna be that if it's kibriyasan, there is no psul of pagima. Pagima is only if after it's born, so to speak, and it's been removed from its natural place, now some occurrence took place that created a pagima. And if that would happen, then you're in trouble with Avnei Hazara and Heichal as well, because they too have to be Shlemos, as the Gemara says in Sot, and the Rambam says it here in Hilchus, in Perek Aleph, Milchus Beis HaBechira. So now it comes out that this enterprise of going below the ground to dig up these stones, in order to find stones and in their natural state and use them for the Mizbeach, that's meaningful not only for the Mizbeach, but also for the
Heichal.
The Heichal and the Azor. Okay, there are both sides, so we'll stop here. Now you may have, how many pages do you have? Just to the end of this page?
Yeah.
Shmuel, that's what we decided. Okay, great. So I'll be honest with you. What I'd love you to do is read the paragraph Ella and the Teferis Yaakov, if you have time during Chavrusa. And I'm not sure what we're going to do tomorrow. I know that tomorrow I want to continue on the subject of Mizbeach. I feel like we're beginning to make a dent, pardon the expression, into the Mizbeach. But I think we still have a ways to go here on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. So that's what I want to reserve for tomorrow. Maybe we'll add a little bit more from the Nefesh Tova. Okay then?
Thank you very much.
Okay, now my next year, if you're around,